It's good to be here. Fortunately, I'm not one of those running pastors that runs around on the stage, because I don't know how Pastor Yaku is going to preach here. He's going to bump into something. He likes to walk up and down. So I have to compliment you. The church really looks beautiful. And I have to admit, in my flesh, I almost want to say amen and hallelujah and then light a fire and just braai 'n worsie with you guys. It's really a privilege to be here. Thank you for the opportunity. Pastor Philip is taking a good break. Him and his family, they're on leave right now up there in the north where it's really hot. So it's always nice when you preach at different churches. Last week I preached in Walvis Bay, and the week before that in Swakopmund. So here in Windhoek, you can hear aeroplane. Some of the other churches, you can hear the sea. So every time it's something new, something different. So, amen. I've got on my heart this morning, I want to share a little bit on mutual submission. We're going to read a scripture just now. And as I just said, you know, it's really Alwyn. I was standing there at the back. I think he asked me about three times, Dad, when does a children's church start? And he's really excited to go and see. I think he just wanted to see something new and see what it looks like on that side. So greetings also from the guys in Swakopmund. Also nice to see Rikus and Reinu, one or two people from that side also here. And also to see you guys from time to time there visiting us in Swakopmund. I'm going to start this morning. I want to read to us from Ephesians 5, verse 15 to 21. So before I start, I just want to say, you need to listen carefully today that you don't hear things that I'm not saying, and also the other way around. So don't get me wrong. I'm going to try and be as clear as possible. Ephesians 5, verse 15 to 21. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart. Now that sounds almost like a scripture for the parents in the house. I think the first few years when I started to preach, I just wanted to do this because I was, when I became a pastor way back in 2008, my twins were about 8 months old. So I think it's nature for parents to stand like this almost. So I guess I can stand still right now. Verse 19, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. And then after that, follow from verse 22 to 33, that's that part basically where we find in the New Testament the longest description of the, let's say, the roles, the interaction of Christian marriage, the roles of husband and wives, how to conduct themselves. So it says quite a few things here. It says that typical language Paul uses there in Ephesians. He said walk. So that'd say we should walk as wise, not as unwise. I guess that is quite straightforward. He said we should understand what the will of the Lord is, and that we see in Scripture. We can understand it as we read Scripture. The Holy Spirit will enlighten us. He will, many times we will read and we will see something and we will know God is speaking to me right now. The Holy Spirit is putting that warm feeling there in your heart. And then, very importantly, in verse 18, he says, but be filled with the Spirit. Okay, and I guess that is one of the key themes in this part. Be filled with the Spirit, because if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, that makes a lot of difference. If we look at in Galatians 5, at the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is love, peace, joy, kindness, that's really important. Yes, I can hear you. You know that and you understand that. You probably have a good pastor. Be filled with the Spirit. And this is basically then after that is, it follows how, you know, as I said, the relationship between husbands and wives. So we need to understand, Paul is not writing, yeah, and he says like in a harsh way how they should conduct, but it's in the context of being filled with the Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit is love, peace, joy, long-suffering, kindness. So Adrian, you guys, Michael to be, everyone who's married, you know, sometimes we do battle a little bit with that, especially when we're tired or something goes wrong. But that makes it so much different in marriage if we have those things in our hearts. So then we get here in verse 21, we get to submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. And that is the scripture where I really want to stand still this morning. And I'm going to minister on something that's probably not on the front page of the newspapers every morning, but it's something that in terms of theology, I believe is really important, and also something that is quite contested at this stage. Okay, so in verse 21, I just want to read you, absolute submission is popular today, particularly where egalitarian philosophies are of the rule. And then I want to read to you, it will also be there on the second slide, just a little bit of explanation what I mean with egalitarian. Egalitarian, yes, there you go, is a label commonly used for those who believe that the scripture teaches the equality of men and women in a way that minimizes or denies gender-specific roles in marriage or in church. Now, let me just say it up front. In church, in Shofar, we believe in equal value in terms of men and women. We are all the same in that sense. We are all, there were ladies also there on the day of Pentecost. They are also spirit-filled. We don't get me wrong, and as I said, here's something I did not say, okay? We are unique, although, and then, you know, we really believe women can drive cars, they can work, they can be lawyers, they can lead worship. They can also wash dishes, but men, Paul, we can do it as well. I guess that's not an issue today. So I'm not trying to say who should do what. That's not the point I want to make this morning. But especially that last part where the evangelical feminists and especially the egalitarians say, and I want to read that last part again, basically where they believe Scripture teaches the equality of men and women in such a way that minimizes or denies gender-specific roles in marriage and in church. Now, that has got quite implications for us, because that, in a sense, that nullifies basically the role of husbands and the roles of wives. And obviously, if you take scripture out of context, you can almost justify just about anything you want to. And that is where you get a lot of weird cults and sects and things like that, where people manipulate scripture to mean something that it doesn't mean. Okay, so Paul then goes on here, I want to read you, but what Paul meant by submitting to one another is explained through the particular examples of family relationships. So it is likely that submitting to one another means submitting to others according to the authority and the order established by God. Okay, and then Paul, I'm not going to read that part, but he goes on where he then deals with husbands and wives. He talks about parents and their children, and he also talks about slaves and their masters. So basically, this scripture, and I really, this is part of a bigger bit of research I'm doing right now, something that's really on my heart, because those of you who know me well, I love to do marriage preparation. And then we talk to people, and then when it comes to husbands and wives and submitting to one another as Jesus loved the church and all those things, we can just say it, but you need to believe what you say, okay? We need to know and understand where it comes from. So verse 21, where I ended now, in the Greek language, that is transitional. That means it's linking the part before it with the part that follows, okay? So basically what is applying there, it says they submit to one another. Then in verse 21, submitting to one another. Basically, so how do we understand that? As I said, the egalitarians, the evangelical feminists, those guys, which are also Christians, they believe, as I read to you just now, that basically these roles aren't the way, in terms that I will see it, for instance. So it goes on. And this passage basically lays the foundation in terms of interpretation for the rest that follows and goes up to. So how do parents and children submit to one another? How do slaves and their masters submit to one another? Because Paul said they should submit to one another, okay? So we should understand that I believe, you know, that having rightly ordered relationships according to God's design for the household is of inexpensible value for the Spirit to do His full and complete work. Now, you know, last night, me and Maritza was just sitting there in bed. I think she was paging through a magazine. And I said to her, what do you understand here? What does it mean to you? And then we talked, and, you know, my wife, my godly wife, where is she? I see one or two people's eyes really grew large when they walked into church and saw her holding a baby. Auntie Doris, it's not ours. It belongs to Frederick. Okay, we ended at the stage with a little Ulrike. It will be miracles if there's more, but we're always open to miracles. You never know. But basically, we talked about families and, you know, the way God designed it to be. And about 2 or 3 weeks ago, we had a Foundation 3 and then Swakop Munt. And, you know, just listening through those teachings, I know many of you guys have done it also before, you know, that you can also see when families don't function well, you know, you always get a lot of hurt and brokenness that flows from that. And basically, that is what we deal with in Foundation 3. There's a place for spiritual and emotional healing, really, where people got divorced or break up, or, you know, it breaks one's heart if you see, you read the Namibian newspapers and you see children this big and they are the head of the house, you know. God didn't design a 12 or 13-year-old child to be a head of the house, but because parents die, because things happen and go wrong, you know, young people end up sometimes at a very young responsibility to take responsibility and to look after themselves, which is very wrong and very sad. But basically, just coming back to what me and Maritza talked about, and she said, well, it's so easy to her. It's so straightforward to her. It makes sense. Why do I ask all these difficult questions, and how does she understand it? But it's something that has got implications. And as I said, we need to just, I really want to stand still a little bit there. And you will hopefully at the end see why, I guess, I'm ministering on something like this. In Ephesians 5 verse 22, Colossians 3 verse 18, Titus 2 verse 5, 1 Peter 3 verse 1, it's not going to be up there. Basically, for about 19 and a half centuries, there were never a challenge or an issue about how these things were understood, okay? Basically, in the second half of the last century, when the feministic movement started to gain momentum, you know, many of these things in Scripture started to be challenged, and obviously it's not wrong if you challenge something, but you can't bend it and make it mean something that it hasn't meant ever before, okay? So the thing usually people will say is, how can Paul tell people, especially women then, you know, that they should submit to their wives? Okay, it sounds so harsh. I mean, can't we just submit to one another? And then the perfect scripture to use is Ephesians 5 verse 21, where it says then submit to one another. So we need to go and have a look what Paul had in mind when he said submit to one another. Okay, I'm just going to use one example. Rebecca Groothuis. Now, she's not from Namibia, but also not from France or Italy. I guess we can just assume she's from the Netherlands, probably. Her surname says it. Like, this is a groot huis, okay? Big house, if we can translate it maybe like that. But basically, she represents a view that the egalitarians have, which, and I just want to read it to you, if I just quote from something that she wrote, where she said, wives are to submit to their husbands in the same way that all believers are to submit to one another. Okay, so yes, we do submit to one another in a certain sense, okay, but what she means, and I can't read everything this morning, is basically if all believers submit to each other in exactly the same way, okay, who's going to be the pastor or the leader? And then we have to look at Scripture and to see what does Scripture say about in other places about husbands specifically. And my sermon isn't at all about who should submit to whom in terms of the rest of Ephesians 5, okay? So, basically, the egalitarian view will say things like, I will submit to my husband as soon as he is subject to me. They will say, there is no difference in the roles between men and women, which is silly because I can't have children the way my wife does or bear them. but that's just in a very fleshly way. Egalitarians will claim there is no unique leadership role for the husbands. There's basically just mutual submission. Okay, so basically, it want to nullify that place where I say unique leadership for the men. But okay, there's also the flip side of the coin, which is really beautiful, and that is where the men should love their wives as Jesus loves the church. Now, I'm not female, so I don't feel, I can just feel that from God, maybe as a child of God, you know, how he loves me. But wives should feel loved as Jesus loved the church. And that's a place of sacrifice. Jesus gave himself for the church. He died on a cross. You know, it wasn't this mean man standing there and says, you should submit to me, church. Okay, he died on a cross for us that we can live, basically. So, as I said, if you're female, you should, and you, well, that goes just for your own wife, of course, okay, that you should love her as Jesus loves the church. That is rich, that is beautiful, that is powerful, and I don't think it's an unfair deal in any sense. Then I just want to read a quote to you. Because, okay, if you, and it might sound harsh, but if you have an issue with the fact that Scripture says, you know, wives should submit to their husbands, then you have an issue with Scripture, and then you have an issue with God, okay? Which is then you have a problem, something that we can talk about. Just like many, a marriage is suffering because its members have embraced a wrong definition of marriage. So many, a church is suffering because its members have embraced a wrong definition of church, okay? And you can go on. Sometimes people are offended with the church because of good leadership, something where they maybe got disciplined, or, you know, maybe even if we can take it on, because Paul is dealing here with slaves and their masters, he's dealing also with parents and their children, okay? So I guess all of us somewhere when you were a child, maybe, and you're small, and a dad has to correct you, which is the right thing to do. And you think, like, I'm going to walk away. I love my sister, but I think she tried it a few times. But then, you know, when you're young, you will also think, well, where do I walk to? It's not a very clever thing to do. And until you get in life to a place of embracing discipline, and that can be, they can catch you 20 times driving 160, and every time you're going to get a fine, okay? The law isn't going to change in that sense. You will endanger your own life if you drink a bottle of whiskey before you drive. You're always going to get in trouble. You're always going to get in jail, okay? That consequence is always going to stay the same. So, from where we stand, if I say mutual submission and we take an interpretation where we say it means being considerate of one another, I'm talking about husbands of wives, caring for one another's needs, being thoughtful, sacrificing for one another, then I'm all for mutual submission, okay? Then I'm all for that. Because that is what I said, we start off, and Paul says, in marriage, you know, be filled with the Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit are love, peace, joy, and kindness, and all those things, okay? So if we submit to one another, in a sense, and we say we're going to care for each other, we're going to be thoughtful, we're going to sacrifice for one another, then we say, mutual submission, I agree with what Paul is saying there, okay? But on the other side of the argument, there's people that say, listen, okay, you are all just exactly the same. And as I said, remember, we believe of equal value, equal importance. The one isn't more important or wow or anything like that, okay? Don't get me wrong there. But I believe Scripture teaches that there's a unique role for a husband and there's a unique role for a wife. The one isn't better than the other. It's just different. Okay? It's just different. So, just to go on a little bit, I'm going to try and use my best Greek here this morning in pronouncing a difficult word. I'm not Greek, so I'm going to try here. But basically, the first reason we believe that mutual submission actually means more something in the line of some to others. Okay, is if we're going to look at that word hypotasso, okay, that is that word that is used submitting to one another. That's the Greek word, okay? So usually in Scripture, if you go and you want to understand, because there's many translations, some are more freely, some are more precise. Some use thought. Some use it in a word-for-word way. Okay, then you go and have to look in other writings of that same period and also in Scripture, what did that word mean? Okay, so that's going to be on the slides here. There's quite a few examples. Look at how this word, hypotasso, is also used elsewhere in the New Testament. That same word is used in a context, and I'm going to read a few to you. Jesus is subject to the authority of his parents, which is biblical. Demons are subject to the disciples. Citizens are subject to the government and authorities. As I said, every time you drive 160, you're going to get in trouble until that law is changed, which hopefully will never be changed because it will be very dangerous. Unseen spiritual powers are subject to Christ. Christ is subject to God the Father. Church members are subject to the church leaders. Wives are to be subject to their husbands. The church is subject to Christ. Christ is the head of the church. Servants are to be subject to their masters. And Christians are subject to God. And that every time it's that word hypotasso which is used there. So the egalitarian side, they want to add a value, a meaning to it that will mean something more in the line of be thoughtful and considerate, act in love towards one another. But the thing is, if we're going to have a look at that word throughout the rest of the New Testament where it's used, we can even go to Josephus, who wrote also in that same time about war. He also used that word in a place where soldiers are in authority to the people, to their leaders. They submit to their general or whatever the military term you want to use. Now, the thing is, Scripture interprets Scripture. So, if we look at the rest of the New Testament, we see, and we're talking about submitting to one another's, and what does it actually mean, that relationship, it's never reversed. We see never Paul or Peter or any of the apostles use it in the other way around. We never see that they say, okay, husbands, you should submit to your wife. Okay, in the terms of authority. Husbands are never told to be subject, hypotasso, to their wives, nor the government to citizens, nor masters to their servants, nor the disciples to demons. Hallelujah, that's a good place to say amen. Clearly, parents are never told to be subject to their children. Hallelujah, once again. Because then your child might make you eat 20 sweets, okay, because they like it. But it's not necessarily a good thing. Okay, so we always see it's in a certain order. It's always written in a certain way. Okay, it's always some should submit to others. And that submit makes some people so uncomfortable. But as I said, I believe it's a fair deal. Because to be loved by your husband as Jesus loved the church is something I believe if you can go to bed tonight and you feel like that, then I guess it will put a smile on every female person's face. Okay, so basically that is that point. Within a healthy Christian marriage, there will be large elements of mutual consultation and seeking wisdom, and most decisions will come by consensus. Consensus between husbands and wives. Okay, so that means listen. Our child really looks sick. What do you believe? Should we take him to the doctor? Should we give the little one maybe a bit of medicine? Is he maybe just tired? Or what is the case? You know, that place where, you know, can decide as husband and wife, do we want to go for holiday to the coast in December? Do you want to go to Keetmanshoop? It's also a nice place, I guess, for December. Or to Marintal, maybe. It's even better. There's a big dam. You can swim a little bit. But you can have both a value in making that decision. Okay? That it doesn't just say, okay, husband, now A to Z, every little decision you need to make on your own. Okay? Amen, men. Praise God that He gave us wives that can be Christians, that can be spiritful, that can hear God's voice, and that can add value. Maybe you are a golf player and your wife is a CA And then she can really give you good advice of how to spend the money that you're making with your golf game. But then you have to be good, otherwise you're going to have a lot of fights in your marriage. But you see, I just want to bring that point across, that you don't hear something I'm not saying, okay? If your wife is a better cook, if she's a better cyclist or anything, she can also help you, okay? Nothing wrong with that. But in spite of all these different forms of submission, one thing remains constant in every use of the word. It is never mutual in its force, okay? It's always one-directional in its reference to submission of authority, okay? So that means it's a one-way thing, and that's why I gave you all that examples of Jesus submitting to the Father, the church submitting to Jesus, people in the church submitting to their leaders, children submitting to their parents, and then also something that we don't really deal with today anymore, but slaves submitting to their masters. Okay, so basically, just to continue a little bit, so why would we give that word hypotasso a meaning in Ephesians 5 verse 21, which is nowhere else shown to have? Okay? If it's nowhere else in Scripture, especially in the New Testament, you know, where these things are dealt with, how can you give it then a meaning that means if I say in English, well my mind is making using an Afrikaans example now, anyone who can only understand English now, can I use the Afrikaans example that came to my mind? Thank you. If as ek nou hierso sou gesê het, bring vir my die bal. En iemand moet nou dit oor 500 jaar interpreteer, dan miskien is dit die bal wat daar lê, maar daai bal kan nooit die aardbol beteken nie. Are you with me? It can't mean something that is totally, it was never intended to be used in that sense. There's so basically, if Paul and the writers of the New Testament, I mean, there's also that reference in Peter, where he says that wives should submit to their husbands, okay? Especially in the time where Scripture were written. If Paul wanted to use an example how to use a laptop, okay? No one in that day would have understood what electricity is, what a laptop is. So he had to then go and be very elaborate, and he had to give a very precise meaning of what he uses as the 5 points to charge Apple iPod or something like that, okay? So the people in that time, okay, they understood this thing about wives that should submit to their husbands. They understood it. So if it were to mean something different, then Paul had to be very clear. Now the thing is, he were writing to Christians. He were writing to people, and he said, you are spiritful, you've got love and peace and joy and kindness, and then basically he said, you should walk as wise, and not as foolish, not in your former ways, okay? Because, obviously, in society in that time, and it's interesting, something I never thought of, it was basically those days, it was just the elite, you know, that were basically 10 or 20% of the society, and then the rest were peasants or poor. There wasn't the middle class, okay? And he was writing to them, and he was just saying, listen, guys, men don't have this harsh hand where you can abuse your wife and you're like a master or something, okay? You're not like a master to a dog or something. Be filled with the Spirit. That means there's love, joy, peace. Submit to one another. That means you can make mutual decisions. You can talk to each other. But I believe that Scripture is teaching that there's a unique place for the husband to be the head and the wife, you know, to submit to that final authority. Okay, that's what I believe we see in Scripture. And then obviously if we go through the rest of Scripture, we see a lot of references. We see that word hypotasso every time. It has the same meaning. Okay, so basically husbands are never told to be subject to their wives. So why is this if Paul wanted to teach mutual submission? Then he had to say almost right on, and he had to say something that really makes that very clear if it had to mean something differently. Okay, he had to be very clear. But then he goes on, and basically the first, in verse 22, he says, wives, submit to your own husbands. Because marriage is this beautiful, or I almost want to say, use the language and say it's like this. It's got this beautiful little fence around it. Okay, it's me and my wife. I don't think about Saskia and Skola and you and you and you. They are not into this deal. It's me and my wife. I love my wife as Jesus loves the church, and she submits to me. Okay, so basically, okay, but nowhere we find such a command. It is surprising that evangelical feminists can claim that the New Testament teaches this when it is nowhere else explicitly stated. So I believe that statement, that someone like Rebecca Groothuis, and obviously I treat her as a Christian, also a sister in Christ, someone that has a different view for other reason. You know, certain churches will use 4 electrical guitars, some will use a piano, some will use no music. That is not really a right or wrong, whether you come in the main part of the city together or in an industrial area. That doesn't matter. That is nitpicking. That is really not what it's about. But if you redefine Scripture to mean something that is not inconsistent with the rest of Scripture, or if you want to assign a value or a meaning to a word that it doesn't have in Scripture or in other cross-references in Scripture, and you use it to nullify something like the unique roles that husbands and wives have, okay, then I will go as far as to say I don't agree from a biblical point of view with a writer that means something like that. If the principle of mutual submission annuls the command that wives should submit to husbands, then logically, it also nullifies the command that children should obey their parents. Because Paul wasn't just writing to husbands and wives, he was also writing to parents and their children. He was also in that part, he was also writing to slaves and their masters. And nowhere he turns it around. Every time, the order is the same. Okay? So, I believe we need to talk about things like that. Because if we say, for instance, and because if you open the door and you say just, we are all just neutral, okay? We are just believers. We just submit to one another. We're like neutral. Men, women, doesn't matter. You are just 50-50 in the deal, which you are in a certain sense. As I said, ladies were also there in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. We've got the same fruits of the Spirit. There's no distinction. There's no difference in value or something. It's just the tire on my car doesn't do the same thing the gearbox do, okay? And that makes something work. And I believe, as I said earlier, that if we stay in this design that God has intended for it to have, speaking of marriage, and I hopefully, you know, that's why I'm preaching about these things, because it matters to my heart. You know, there's so many things. I'm raising children now, and sometimes, you know, you will read stuff where they will say, but you shouldn't discipline children in certain ways, okay? And I just believe if you just leave them and to grow up for themselves, okay, how will they learn to stop at the red light one day? Or how will they learn to listen to a teacher in class? And then if you go and listen to the teachers around us, you will see it's not something bad that might happen. It's something that has started to happen long ago, okay? Then you will see the respect for the police officer that wears the badge, that has that thing of authority, the teacher, the whoever it might be, the pastor, the husband. If you take that away, you become a society where there's no order, where if it will not work. And because that is happening, that is why society looks in many ways the way it looks. Okay? And in a sense, there's nothing new under the sun, as Scripture says. The issues that they dealt with 2,000 years ago about when Paul was writing, it's similar things we're dealing with right now. So if you were to get that one through, you can use something and you say, you know, of equal value and equal authority. Yes, we do have equal value in church, but do we have equal authority? You know, you see what I'm meaning? If you can get it through in terms of husbands and wives, you can get it through in other places. And then you can say, but Pastor Philip, why should I listen to you? Police officer, mayor of the city of Windhoek, president Geinkop, why do I need to listen to you? Because we've got the same value, And if we have the same authority, then speed cop, sorry, you can't tell me I shouldn't drive 160. I can do what I want to. You see the problem that it's going to lead to, okay? So that is why I really love to, and there's as I said, if we can, the time won't allow it this morning, but if we use this and we take it through to something like biblical leadership, okay, do you see where the problem will come? If we just say, listen, in the context of the names we use in Shofar, there's not going to be small group facilitator, there's not going to be a zone coach or an elder or a pastor. We are equal in value, so I guess we just mutually submit to one another. We have equal authority, and many churches do function like that. Go and do a bit of research. Then how are our society or the church going to be governed? If there's no police officers, no mayor of the city of Windhoek, that I believe should say at a time like this, okay, guys, you're not as privileged as our guys in Swakop. We've got a whole ocean of water, but you've got a dam with 30% left with water. Okay, someone should say to the five-year-old, listen, you can't eat chocolate and ice cream 11 o'clock at night as much as you want to. There's reasons for these things, okay? And basically what I believe Paul wrote here to the church, especially to believers, okay, he's not just talking to people in general, although people in general will, I believe, gain a lot of useful insight if they, but obviously that's a different story. So bottom line is just, I believe it's something really important, and I just wanna end off this morning. This is not a basically responding to a message by putting up your hand or coming to the front or something like that. It's basically about a biblical truth. And as I said, that thing about mutual submission, if it means something about caring for each other, basically loving each other, making decisions together, yes, we are for that. I vote for that. But if you go and add a value and you say mutual submission in marriage or in church will just mean something like, listen, there's no difference in roles. There's just a person A and a person B in marriage and not a husband and a wife with unique roles, or even then in church, just Scorpio 1 to Scorpio 99, okay, we're going to run into trouble. There's going to be challenges, okay? So last night, as I said, I just spoke to my wife and I asked her a few questions. How do you understand this? What does it mean to you? I mean, you're female. You see it from the other side as I see it. And she said, but it's so straightforward. That's what Scripture says. And I know she's got a childlike faith. And that makes it a bit easier. So for some of you, maybe you sit here this morning and you feel you've got childlike faith. Why is this an issue? Why do you even have to preach about it? I mean, it's not rocket science. But maybe you sit here this morning and you know about the word hypotasu, and you go and see what it actually means in the rest of Scripture in the New Testament, or the context where it's where Jesus submits to his Father, or the church submits to Jesus, or any other example. Then there's a bit of more flesh this morning, something to chew on. And you know, it's always so nice when there's debate, when there's arguments, where people say, but listen, I'm a feminist, or I can definitely treat them as Christians as well. And they say, but listen, I see it as mutual submission, just the person A and B mutually submitting to one another. Then we can talk about it. Okay, we need to see and understand what's the meaning of the word, and we're going to go and do a lot of research. And then, obviously, I mean, we had an example in Swakopmund now recently where someone said, but yes, we are of equal value and we have equal authority. But then it makes things really complicated in terms of who's the leader. So I want to challenge you, if you don't agree with me, go and drive 160, get caught, and then you tell the officer of the law, listen, sir, we're of equal value, of equal authority. You're going to listen to me now, okay? Then you send me from jail an SMS. I'll come and visit you. I'll come and pray for you. I'll bring you food. Because he's not going to say that. He's going to say, sorry, my friend, this is what the law says. You get now here. Put your hand behind your back. You're going with me. So I'm going to leave it there. If you want to send me an email, want to talk about it, you're most welcome. Pastor Yaku once preached a wonderful sermon, and he said, if I were to stand back here, and there's a huge elephant, Adrian, you can come and stand with me. Thank you. You're not the elephant, okay? And you can. I just want to use it as an example. Now, you all know if you've been to Etosha or somewhere else in Namibia and you've seen a huge elephant, and I'm standing here at the back, and this is the back leg of the elephant. I might see the tail, I might see the feet, okay? But because the elephant is so big, Adrian is standing at the other side, and he's looking from the front, okay? And he sees the front leg, and he sees that trunk, slurp, okay? He sees the, thank you, Adrian. Just involving the church in a sermon, okay? Then he sees something differently. He sees something, but I'm seeing an elephant, he's seeing an elephant, okay? And that is where Scripture says we all see in part. Sometimes, some of us, I see something here and you see something there. Maybe Putti has got finances on his heart today. That's biblical, but I believe what I'm sharing here on is also biblical. It's also part of Scripture, okay? So I'm not sure what God is speaking to you about right now, but I believe these truths, these values, the way we take it to our families, the way we take it as parents, as government, as these type of things, I'm not part of the government, but it does matter. And if there's people that challenge this view, we should say, yes, let's talk about it. Let's see what we can get from Scripture. And then also we need to have some maturity to say, listen, I'm seeing the tail and the back leg of the elephant, and you are seeing the front leg and the eye and the ear maybe. We're both seeing the elephant. We are both elephant lookers. Or viewers, what can we use? But we're seeing it differently. But let's respect each other also for seeing the same elephant. Amen. Father, we want to thank you this morning, Lord God, for your word, Lord God. We want to thank you for Scripture. Father, I want to pray this morning, Lord God, that we will walk as wise men, as Paul has said, Lord God, that we will be wise, Lord God, that the church, Lord God, and the way we govern our relationships, that we will not walk in our former ways, in the language of Paul, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that your Spirit will fill us, Lord God, that love and peace and joy and kindness and goodness and long-suffering, Lord God, that it will be in our hearts, Lord God, that will be a way we treat each other, Lord God, that will be a value and a foundation, how we treat each other in our marriages, Lord God. That we can have that place, Lord God. And Father, as if you say in your word, Lord God, that men, Lord God, has got a different role from women as we see it here, Lord God. I want to say amen to that, Lord. Father, I'm not saying amen to the one is better than the other, Lord God, but just that it's different, Lord God, and that you intended it to be different, Lord God. Father, you ask us to submit in many places, Lord. And I pray for all of us, Lord God, whether we are submitting to the police officers of the city of Windhoek or to the Namibian nation, Lord God, or to the roads authority, Lord God, the teacher at school, or maybe to a husband, Lord God. We all need to submit somewhere. I pray that you'll make it in our hearts easier, Lord God, that love and peace and joy and kindness will make it easier to drive 120 and to stay within the limits, Lord God. Because, Father, you designed it that way. Father, it's to protect us. Father, it's to help us, Lord God. If children are to submit to their parents, Lord God, I believe and I see, Lord God, that it's something biblical. It's something good, Lord God. Please help us to be good husbands, good wives, good parents, Lord God, and also good citizens, Lord God. Romans 13 say, Lord God, that we should submit to authorities, Lord God, that we can't just do things in any way we want to, Lord God. And Father, I want to thank you, Lord God, that you are so big this morning, Lord God, that you gave us different roles, Lord God, that you didn't make us exactly the same, Lord God, that you wired us differently, Lord God, that our muscles look differently, Lord God. Yes, Lord God, so I just want to celebrate this fact, Lord God, that we can submit, Lord God, and that you made us of equal value, but also different, Lord God, that Yes, Lord God, and that we can have a view where we complement each other, Lord, where we can say, for the steering system and the wheel, Lord God, we are not doing the same job, but we are helping each other to make the vehicle move, Lord God. And may it be like that in our marriages, Lord God, that we can help each other, that we can complement each other, Lord God. And Father, I pray that if we stand in different places of the elephant, Lord, and we look at it, Lord God, and we see differently at a certain time and season of our lives, Lord God, that you also give us a maturity, Lord God, to handle each other with respect, Lord God. I pray for Shofar Windhoek, Lord God. I pray for this church, Lord, that your hand will be with this church, Lord God, that it will be the head and not the tail, Lord God. I pray for every person here, every leader, Lord God, every family, every marriage, every older person, every new person, Lord God, that this can be a family church, Lord God, that can grow for your glory, Lord God, that it can be for your glory alone, Lord God. Yes, Lord God, and yes, Lord God, that this can just continuously be a place where the truth is preached, Lord God, from your word, Lord God. I pray if there's anything we miss as leaders, as the church, Lord God, that you'll show it to us, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen.